Welcome to Axios Church Online. We're so excited you have joined us here on our online campus. We hope this message encourages you and uplifts you throughout your week. Enjoy this message.
Honor that you've joined us here. We say it all the time for our guests that are here. We've been waiting for you. Where you been? We've been praying for you, and it's such an honor for you to be here. Hope you feel at home. Hope you feel loved. Here at Axios Church, we say you are loved, you are noticed, and we're in this together. And that happens even before we meet you. So hope you feel welcome in this place. And we are in February already. How many people, the year has already been super long? Can I get an amen on that? January's taken 9 months. Can I get an amen on that? We just blinked and we're in February. The month of love. Love, or for our Spanish, amor. For our French people, I don't know what it is. It's something with love. I mean, we're in the so men, like we said, you better get those flowers, okay? And I know it's a Hallmark thing. And if they say, "Oh, you don't have to get me anything," men, you have to get them something. You know what I'm talking about? Who's ever been there? I've been there a couple times. I've been there. But we started a series last week called Love Stories, and all for our Swifties. It's one of her songs, and I just want to give honor where honor is due. Pastor Ryan did an amazing job last week. Give it up for Pastor Ryan. He killed it. He started this series off with Samson and Delilah, and there's so many things that you can go in with that. Such an impactful message. If you didn't catch it, you can catch it on our YouTube on that. But last week, Jess and I were not here. We got to play mom and dad. It's okay to play mom and dad. Our boys lost two. But that third game, can I get an amen? That third game, we came after them. And you know, some people don't want to play us. They don't want to play us, Eric. They don't want to play us, but we had an awesome time. I almost got kicked out almost got a red card. You know, Eric had to come and be like, "Hey, Pastor, too much passion. When it comes to your kids, you know, you don't want, you know, you go out. I had to repent, so I had to repent. But it was an awesome time with our boys. But like you said, today is the Super Bowl. Super Bowl. Who's going for the 49ers? I like that. Who's going for the Kansas City Chiefs? Who's? I hope they tied. Who just wants to see Taylor Swift? Huh? Three? Who doesn't care about the Super Bowl at all? Hey! Wow. No one cares at all. Jeez. Yeah, I get it. Wow, at least you're honest. We started a series last week, like I said, Love Story. And I want to talk about a topic today that in our society we do not have anymore, or we do not activate, or we do not live by. It's actually a muscle in our life that we have to grow, because we kind of lost it throughout the years, throughout so many things that have happened throughout the years, from COVID and all the craziness in life. Is this word called loyalty? We're going to talk about loyalty today, because we don't talk about that in circles anymore. But there's a point in the Bible when it calls us to be loyal people. Loyalty has been lost in our workplaces. Loyalty has been lost in our marriages. Loyalty has been lost in our friendships. But here's the thing. Loyalty is an important thing in our life, but loyalty with the wrong motives can be toxic. Loyalty with the wrong motives. There's been times in my life that I've been loyal to a fault to people, but it was a toxic relationship. And we're talking about relationships today. It can be marriages, it can be friendships, it can be so many things that loyalty has to come to the picture. Here's the real definition of what loyalty means. Loyalty is an allegiance, a sense of duty, a devoted attachment to something and to someone. But do you understand that loyalty without boundaries is abuse? There's too many people that come in an authority figure that calls to be loyal, but in reality, if there's no boundaries around that thing, guess what? It can be abuse real fast. That's why we see a lot of people come to church with church hurt. Let's just be honest. Sometimes the church, we have done some, not Axios church, because we're good, all right? But the church in general, we have abused some things in the past that people come in and we call them to be loyal to this and that, but then in reality, it just has been an abusive relationship. Can we be real today? But I'm here to talk what the Bible really talks about, what loyalty is, because loyalty with the right motives is not what I can get, but what value I can bring, and that is a beautiful thing. We're going to go to the book of Ruth. Let's go to the book of Ruth, and we're going to talk about a concept of loyalty that we don't talk about a lot. And this is the relationship with Ruth in the book of Ruth, where it's not a romantic relationship. Matter of fact, it's family. It's a family thing that we all have to grow and learn in. And in the book of Ruth, we talk about this concept of, you know, of Ruth really trying to figure out her way. And it all starts in a tragic beginning. See, Ruth in the Hebrew Bible is a famous love story where the girl gleams in the field. The boy sees her gleaming. The boy marries the girl. The baby is born. And the end. It's a Hallmark movie, right? You know those people. You know, you watch them Hallmark movies. But the book of Ruth in the Old Testament is one of the few stories in the Bible that comes from a woman's point of view, a woman's perspective. It's the backdrop of a feminine cross-cultural marriage and a tragedy, but inspired by deep loyalty. The story begins with the Israelite family in the land of Moab. Naomi and her husband had two sons, and they married two Moabite women, and their name was Ruth and Oprah. And you got to understand that this story quickly turns tragic because the husband of Naomi and the two sons die out of nowhere. They die out of nowhere, and Ruth and her and the other daughter-in-law is left with a widow, a mother-in-law, Naomi, who has nothing to give them. See, some of you have a little relationship with your mother-in-law. You know what I'm talking about? Don't say anything, guys. All right? But there could be some conflict there. But now we see this lady losing her husband and her kids, and only thing she has is her daughters, which is Ruth and Orpah. And the story goes on, and I'm going to want to give some context to this because we need to understand what true biblical loyalty looks like. Ruth chapter 1, let's go to Ruth chapter 1, verse 11 and 13. And it says, "And Naomi said, 'Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who have become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even though if I had a husband tonight and then give birth to a son, would you wait until they grow up? Who will remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me.'" You ever been in a position where your emotions get the best of you? And if you look at this story, such a tragic story, Naomi has every right to feel the way she's feeling. I mean, probably depressed, probably dealing with a lot of emotions. She just lost her life. Of her kids and her husband. And we have these daughter-in-laws that are now there, and she's telling them, "Hey, listen, I have nothing to offer you. Just go back to your homeland. I'd rather be alone. I'd rather be in my depression. I'd rather be in my thoughts than having you be in the middle of this." Naomi has nothing more to give to the daughter-in-laws to complete them. She even said, if I had relationships with a man now, would you wait? She is dealing with all this. Nothing to complete them. Nothing to satisfy them. And she warns them against staying, because in staying with her will become suffering for their life as well. Naomi's in a depression mode right now. But Orpah agrees with logic, but Ruth expresses her true love towards Naomi. Let's go to Ruth chapter 1, verse 14 and 18. I'm just trying to set this up so then we can really, really see what we can see what God wants us to learn today. In verse 14, it says, "At this, they wept out loud. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her." Everybody say clung. He clung to her. Verse 15. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and my God, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And where you are buried, I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be so ever severely, if even death separates me and you." And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. There was this promise that Ruth gave Naomi at the moment, "Where you go, I'm going to go. If you die, I will go." That's some kind of loyalty, right? That's some kind of love that she has for Naomi. Side note, here's a side note. Loyalty is not what you can get, but what you bring value to. It's not all about what I can get from this person. It's about what value I can bring to the scenario. See, Ruth was like, "Hey, I could leave right now." And some people look at Orpah as like, "Hey, she just left Naomi as in the cold." But reality was, Orpah was thinking logically. "Hey, I got nothing for me here. I'm going to go and start my life again." But sometimes logic is not what the heart is. And Ruth was really dealing with the heart condition of the situation, losing everything, but she was still loyal to Naomi. And this parallels our life and our story with God and our relationship with God that we need to know. There's four things I need you to know today about loyalty. Number one is this: loyalty has staying power. Loyalty has staying power. There's a horrible trait that we have all learned and picked up through the years, and I feel we need to bring back. And that's the horrible trait is leaving when God calls us to stay. We have made things so easy for us to exit stage left, to leave. We're like a Burger King mentality. Have it your way. One day I want to do this. One day it makes it so easy to just leave. And whatever happened to commitment and loyalty? We do it with our relationship with Christ. When things are going great, we boys, me and God. But when things are going bad, oh, it has to be his fault. And then what we do, we draw further away when we are really supposed to be drawing near. Where has the commitment, the loyalty gone? I remember growing up, my dad worked in the same job for like 30 years. He got like awards, where's the raise? You had a pizza party, you know what I'm talking about, kind of thing? But people used to stay at jobs for years and years, loyal to a fault. And we lost some of that. And I understand they're toxic workplaces, but I'm talking about the principle of being loyal. I remember people used to go to the same church for years. Years and years, but and plant deep roots in communities. But whenever you get your feelings hurt, you want to leave. How about marriages? From the beginning, we vow ourselves to this person, but then whenever we fall out of love, we exit. We don't hold fast to community, and we don't hold fast to commitment, and it's easy for us to just leave. What happened to staying power? When things are not ideal or things get hard, our first tendency is to exit the situation. But the reality is, if we don't stay at times, we can't grow. See, I understand there's toxic relationships, toxic environments, and yes, you need to exit those things. But the work you have to do is involved in sometimes growing in the place that you are in. A plant cannot grow if it's replanted multiple times. You have to grow. I remember this as I was a youth pastor. Youth pastoring, you don't see the fruit to your labors until later on. Like, you are doing lock-ins with these kids. You are talking to them. Sometimes you're like, why am I here? You know, because you talk to them and you give them advice, and usually they do the opposite. Teenagers, listen. We know better half the time. But you also got to grow. I get that. But as a youth pastor, you know, the worst thing as a youth pastor is like, you know, you got that one sermon and you're just like, rah, rah, rah. And then they're like, oh, I like the basketball. What? But you don't see the fruits to your labor until later on that you see a person like Ryan, who is one of my youth, and now he's our executive pastor of our church. Or you see like, he did a great job. Or you have somebody like Joshua and Hannah, who I was their youth pastor. Now Joshua's our youth pastor here at our church. Hannah's our kids director. But you don't see that. But there was moments where I was like, is this person going to make it? You know about that, parents, right? Train up a child. But then in the middle, you're like, I didn't raise this kid. You know what I'm talking about? But sometimes you see the fruit of that later on. It's the staying power. Ephesians chapter 6 says it like this: therefore, take on the full armor of God, that you'll be able to withstand against the enemy. And when you've done, stand firm. And then the next verse says, stand firm again. Why? Because there's going to be times where you stand firm and it's not good enough. When you stand firm and the enemy still fights. So what is it saying? You got to stand and stand more. You got to worship and worship more. You got to pray and pray more. There's a thing about committing yourself to the process. It's a thing about committing yourself even when it's not ideal. It's a thing when you commit yourself, you stay, you plant your roots and know that the winds might be blowing, but there's a God that is so sustainable. There's a God that is still with you. It's about staying in his presence. I'm not going to be one of those pastors that tell you when you become a Christian, everything's going to be perfect. Matter of fact, it's the opposite. Because the enemy knows that the purpose inside of you is, if it's activated and you're truly living for God, that the world changing can happen. But so he's going to fight and fight. But you need to know that when he fights, you better stand. You better be ready. You better be committed. You better be loyal to what he has for your life. Sometimes it's easier for us to leave, but it's harder for us to live in the promise. We want the promise, but the promise takes work. We know that in marriages. We want a healthy marriage. That takes work. It's about staying committed. Commitment. We need to bring commitment back. Teenagers, let me give you a clear advice in your life right now. Learn commitment. Because too many people have commitment issues. You want a relationship. This perfect picket fence. Everybody wants the beautiful marriage, but you don't know how to stay loyal to your word, reading your word. You want all the things, but you can't stay loyal in other areas of your life. It goes all the way through. It's a muscle we need to learn and grow in, because staying power brings the blessing on the other side, even when the circumstance is not ideal. Number two, loyalty keeps us connected. Loyalty keeps us connected. Again, there is a sense of healthy loyalty and unhealthy loyalty. It said that Ruth clung to Naomi, and some people will look at this as weird, but her clinging to Naomi wasn't being codependent on Naomi, but it was being dependent and also not neglecting herself as well. Let me talk to you about relationships, Ruth. Buckle up. Here we go. There's a difference between being dependent and codependent in relationships. See, and one is healthy and one is not healthy. Healthy dependency, otherwise as interdependency, involves a mutual giving and taking. Both people receive support, encouragement, practical help, and so on. But there's another one. Codependency is one person mostly doing the giving and not the other one in return. 1 Corinthians 15:13 says, like, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Let's take an inventory of our relationships real fast. Is it a one-way street? Are you codependent on that person to fulfill you when God is supposed to be fulfilling you? Are you codependent with a person that is so toxic that you don't even know how to have a conversation with anybody else? That's just your person. See, I'm not saying not to have relationships, but I'm saying that sometimes we put people in the place of dependency where we need to put God in that place. And when that person eventually hurts you, because we're all people, you don't know how to function anymore because it was my bestie. We talk, it's all the time. That's not saying to be so closed off-ish that you are not open your heart to relationships, because life alone is very alone. Yeah. But what we need to understand is people don't fulfill us, God does. But God uses people to help us grow in our relationship, even with God. Right. How about this? They say it all the time. You tell me your top five friends and I'll tell you your future, right? Because who we surround ourselves with either are elevating us towards God or diminishing us towards God. Yeah. An unhealthy codependent relationship is a person that is your yes person. That whenever you go to that person, they're like, oh yeah, honey. Oh yeah, he did say that. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, if he comes crossing you, I'm right there with you. Like, we going in, you know? But then when something happens, they're like, You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. We all been there. Unhealthy codependency is a person that will keep you where you are. Yeah. But a person that is dependent on the Lord, but also wanting that you're depending on each other. Listen, I need you. You need me. But our job is to grow with each other. And that takes this word that is a horrible word in our culture. It's called accountability. When the friends around you are just keeping your secrets or keeping your toxic traits, because toxic people hang with toxic people. Jesus. Right? When you're having a miserable day, you're not going to the person in your workplace that is going to be like, hey, buddy. No, you're going to be like, if that person's depressed, let's be depressed together. Right? It's just a natural human emotion. But what I need you to understand is this, that who we surround ourselves with in friendships and relationships either have to draw us nearer to Christ or they draw us farther away. And we have to take healthy inventory of our lives. Will this hurt people? Yes. But are we striving towards Christ in our relationships and staying loyal to Him? Because sometimes we're more loyal to our friends than we're loyal to Christ. I don't know. Let's just keep it going. True loyal connections is one that pushes us to get better. Going back to I got ADHD brain. So going back to the accountability. We don't like to be accountable because we don't like to know the truth. A good friend is a friend that sometimes hurt your feelings. Let me say that again. This is good stuff. This is not even part of my notes. Thank you, God. If your friends don't hurt your feelings to get you closer to Christ, they ain't good friends. Teenagers, let me go back to teenagers. If their friends are like, oh, you know, this and saying all these crazy things, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, learn how to have healthy friends. Grown-ups, just because they're teenagers doesn't mean we don't do the same things. Sometimes we surround our environments and our lives with people that make us feel good about ourselves. Are we trying to grow or not? We're trying to get around people. That's why here at Axios, community is so important for us. Because we know that when we come together with like-mindedness, but also accountable to each other, that means that sometimes you're going to have to check me, and sometimes I'm going to have to check you. That doesn't mean I hate you. That means I want you to grow. How are you going to grow if you sometimes you don't know what you need to grow in? But vice versa, the person that's telling them to be accountable, get ready for your moment. Because it can't just be accountable one way. That's healthy connection. That's being dependent on each other, not codependent in an unhealthy relationship. And here is where Naomi and also Ruth was like, Ruth was saying, listen, I understand the state of mind that you are in, but we are not going to stay here. We're going to grow better. We're going to get in different environments, and we're going to be together in doing so. I'm not going to leave you aside. I'm not going to leave you in your depression. I'm not going to leave you in your suicidal thoughts. I'm going to come alongside of you, and I'm going to be that friend to call things out, but also be there when you need me the most. That's what it means to be closer than a brother. When God calls us, he's like, hey, I'm closer than a brother. It's us connecting with each other. Number three, I'm sorry, I haven't preached in 2 weeks. I'm excited. Number three, loyalty equals honor. This is a word that we don't even use a lot either, honoring, because it's been abused. When you have somebody that is loyal, you cherish that because it doesn't come often. Marriages. The grass might be greener on the other side, but most of the time it's not. If your attention, and I'm talking to married couples right now, and to singles, take note too. If your attention and conversation is going to somebody that is not your husband or wife, you're being codependent to that person to fulfill a need that you're not willing to deal with in your marriage. This is too practical. I'm sorry. Next week will come and I'll just scream at you, okay? Here at Axios, I want our relationships to be the healthiest it can be. But it takes us knowing our downfalls and us knowing and being honest, am I being codependent on things that should not be in my life? It might start with a text. Then it starts with a meetup. Then it starts with the one thing. And then you see your life going all over the place. Why? Because you gave thought to something that you were not willing to deal with. Marriage is hard. Marriage takes work. This whole thing of society, can I get an amen on the work part of that? This whole thing was this, I'm trying to talk to you in logic, but also the word. It takes work. It says you cling to your husband. You cling to your wife. You cling to your relationship. Why? Because it's something that can last forever if you put the work. Same thing with our relationship with Christ. There's blessings on the other side. There's provision on the other side. It might not come how you want it, but there's a blessing, which is Jesus Christ in our life. But it takes work. And work, attached with commitment and loyalty, brings this thing called honor. What does honor mean? Honor means to demonstrate high respect or great esteem for a person by honoring one another, saying you see great value in people. I love this word. Because if we're not honoring, it's easy to honor here in the four walls. Because sometimes we put our churchy face on and be like, hey, everything's going good. And inside it's like, I'm dying. Can you honor the boss that you don't like? Can you honor that one person on the cubicle right next to you that is just annoying? Can you find value in people because they were created by Christ? Can we be mature in our relationship enough to see each and every one of us have value because the creator of the universe created and molded us? So our job as believers is to give value and honor no matter what. If it's the person on the side of the street that is begging for money, we have to honor them because they're a person that God created them. If it's the CEO in your workplaces, you got to honor them. Yeah, I understand there's some crazy things there. But just because we are people of Christ, we have to show honor to one another. I hate when people are not honoring each other. Think about this. If God Himself took the time to put breath in our lungs and purpose in our heart, who are we to devalue people? Devaluing people is saying, I'm putting my place, I'm putting me in God's position, and I show that person worth if I want to or not. I don't know if you read your Bible, but the Bible says that He shows His love. That before we were even sinners, Christ still died for us. That's such an honor. So that means I need to walk around, and even though you are jacked up, you got to know that I'm jacked up as well. And I honor you because I see the value in you. And this is what Naomi was, she was in this depression moment, and Ruth said, I know that what I see right now is suffering, but I choose to see the value in you and stay right beside you. Here at Axios Church, I want you to know that the staff, that everybody here, we see value in each and every one of you. That's why your story matters to my story. That's why us coming together matters, because you were worth it. Somebody, you never heard this for a while. Hey, we love you. Some of you have never felt the love of a father before, but there's a father in heaven that uses His church to embrace you. So what I'm saying, hey, bring your baggage. Bring your mess. You don't have to be perfect to come to Christ, but you have to come to Christ and pursue His principles. And in that, I show you honor. And I'm done. Come here, Judex. Here's the great part of all this. Number four, loyalty only works when sacrifice is embraced. Loyalty only works when sacrifice is embraced. Just because the situation changes doesn't mean your commitment needs to change. Environments change. Environments should not change you. Let me say that again. Everybody wake up. Your environments might change, but your environment should not change you. You have to be solid on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. It's the difference between having love with conditions and unconditional love. Love with conditions mean, hey, when it benefits me, then I show you love. When I can get something out of it for my benefit, then I'll show love. But we don't live for a God that does that. He shows unconditional love. That it doesn't matter if you don't bring anything to the table, I still should respect you and love you. She stayed loyal. And on the other side of her being loyal, blessings followed her. Because she built a heart of loyalty and commitment, not only to Naomi, but in her life. There was no other option but blessings to follow her, because one day she was picking grain in a field. And the owner of that field, his name was Boaz. Boaz was handsome. Boaz was tall, muscular, Puerto Rican. Wepa. Boaz, we have fun. Boaz heard about Ruth, heard about her loyalty, and had no other option but to see what's about this girl named Ruth. So not only did he love her because of her looks, but he loved her because of her heart. And he had no other option but to say, hey, I want that in my life. And look at this. A person that came from suffering, hurt, pain, is now married to the richest person in the land, Mrs. Boaz. Blessings followed her, not because what she'd done, but because who she is. It's who you are that matters. It's not about the front you can put in front of me. It's about who you are when nobody's looking. It's about what you do when nobody is, there's no audience around. It's that heart that you have. And that's what got Ruth the blessing. So now she was in suffering. Now she is royalty. And I'm here to tell you today that when you stay committed to the Lord, when you stay committed to his precepts, when you stay committed to the through the good times and the bad times, there is a blessing that is being worked up. It's not at your timing. It's not at your ability. But when God is called to bless, Ruth was at a field picking grain, and she didn't even know the blessing was on the other side. You do what you need to do. You stay committed to what you need to stay committed to. You need to stay loyal into your word. You need to stay loyal to community. You need to stay. When you stay committed, there's blessing on the other side. There's a Boaz, dark, handsome. You know what the rest is. There's a Boaz on the other side, ready to bless, to support, to love you. But it didn't happen until she didn't build a heart of commitment and loyalty. So the question I have for you today, are you loyal? Are you committed to the Lord? Are you loyal to your relationship with the Lord? Are you committed to your relationship? Are you loyal to your responsibilities? Because it's not only our relationship with him, it's our relationship with others as well. Loyalty takes staying power. It keeps us connected. It's honoring each other, and it embraces sacrifice. And I love what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 says. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is stronger in a healthy relationship. And loyalty and commitment keeps you stable. Maybe you're in this place and you feel like your life is just, oh my goodness, have you committed to something? Or are you going to the next thing that's going to try to satisfy the need that you need to work in? I'm here to tell you today that your relationship with Jesus Christ matters. It's love God, love his people. Let me say it again. Love God, love his people. We need to stay loyal to him and committed to his people, that he gives us opportunities to love each and every day. I know this is not the shake me down, everybody's gonna fall down in the spirit message. But this is a message we need to know. Commitment matters. Staying matters. Because on the other side of us working at this thing, there's a blessing on the other side. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Father God, I pray for your people today. I pray that you build the muscle of commitment in our lives, Father God. Not only in our relationships, but our relationship with you, Father God. When things are going sour or things are going left to the right, God, we can stay committed to your word because your word is unshakable, unmovable. You're a God that never leaves us nor forsakes us. So I can build my roots deep in that stability, and I will stay committed to that cause. But in that, Lord, I will stay committed to you, and I stay committed to your people, God. Lord, bring community as a forefront of our minds, God, because we need each other. In our times when we feel down and out, as Naomi did, we need roofs to stand up and say, I will not leave your side. I will walk this walk with you. I stay committed to God and to his people. And today, God, give us opportunities to be a light in the dark places, a light in our schools, a light in our workplaces, a light in your church, a light in our communities, God. Let us be the light to illuminate all what seems dark. God, we stay committed to you, to your word, to your promises. I pray blessings over your people, God, as we stay committed to your cause. In your name we pray. Amen. Come on, Acts.
Wasn't that an amazing message? If you'd like to help partner with us to push this mission forward here in Lakeland, Florida, you can go to axioschurch.com, and in the giving tab, you can give a one-time donation or a recurring gift. We are so thankful for all of you that have decided to join us this morning. We meet every Sunday, and we can't wait to see you next time. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, turn on your post notifications, make sure you're tuned in to everything that Axios Church has to offer.